Over 500,000 Australians are struggling to put food on the table, with the rising cost of living being the major cause. According to the latest Food Bank report. This is followed by Australian Bureau of Statistics data showing that over the last 12 months, all living cost indexes rose by almost 10%. Released in October last year, the Food Bank Hunger Report found the hardest hit were those with children. The Wire's Emma Watsky speaks to Anti-Poverty Network SA's Paz Foggioni about how this food insecurity crisis is playing out, especially for those on low incomes.
Indeed, for anyone, particularly for people on very low incomes, you always cover the cost of your housing first. You do whatever you can to keep a roof over your head. The crux of the issue is that for people on very low income, if they're renting privately or if they're a mortgagee, chances are that even before the cost of living crisis, their housing costs were taking up the bulk of their budget. In some cases, 40, 50, 60% of their income was already being spent on housing. That's before the cost of living explosion that we've seen over the last couple of years. What we know now is that, you know, we're seeing rent skyrocket. That's putting even more pressure on people's ability to, you know, not only cover their rent, but meet all the other expenses that they have to meet after they pay their rent. So housing comes first, and food and utilities and all other essentials come a very distant second. That's basically what we're seeing at the moment. People on very low incomes whose incomes have either flatlined or gone backwards, and housing costs that have increased at a much faster rate, and in many parts of the country, food and particularly fresh food costs that have increased at a much, much faster rate than people's income. And because people will always cover the cost of their housing first, unlike everything else, will get sacrificed. So people will eat less, they'll skip meals, they'll avoid fresh quality food, because that's often where the biggest price rises have been because of the impacts of natural disasters and other events.
And can you offer any insight into perhaps the change in the way that food services are currently being accessed?
Oh, I'm not quite sure if I can, except to make the comment that I think there'll be a growing number of people who would be working poor who would be accessing food banks. So we know it's not just people on Centrelink payments, it's not just people on Job Seeker and youth allowance and other income support payments. It's increasingly a group of people who have unlimited work hours, and they may be working part-time, or they may be casual workers whose hours fluctuate depending on the time or season of year. But of course, the people who are under the most strain in terms of their ability to pay for food are people on Centrelink payments who are living well below the poverty line, in some cases, $200 or $300 a week below the poverty line.
And just how much is the current situation amplifying their struggle?
It's tremendous. I've been working with people on low incomes in Adelaide for the past decade, and I've come across more people who are in crisis, and more people who are after they cover their housing costs are extremely reliant on not just the traditional food charities, but often the support of family and friends, and all sorts of other informal ways to put food on the table. I've never seen things quite this bad. I think it's a combination of what's happened to cost of living in general, what's happened to rents specifically, because if you're on a low income, you're more likely to be renting in the first place, and the fact that people on income support, while their payments may be indexed to keep up with inflation, and we know that many people's payments are actually falling behind relative to cost of living. That's how the government calculates how much to index people's payments, does not actually reflect what's happening to people's budget. So if your job seeker might go up by $2 a day to keep up with inflation, if your next rent rise is $20 or $30 a week, that increase alone will swallow up the indexation to your payment. And that's not taking into account what's happening to your power bills at the moment, what's happening to your food bill at the moment, or the fact that a growing number of GPs are no longer on bulk billing, which is having a huge impact on low-income people, particularly low-income people who may have chronic health issues.
So from an observational perspective and first-hand experience, how else do you think that food insecurity is impacting maybe health and well-being as well?
I think it's a vicious cycle in that people who end up on low incomes, you know, unlike often have pre-existing health issues, living in poverty is in and of itself tremendously stressful and tremendously harmful to people's health. The longer that you're living in poverty, the more likely that your physical and mental health will be impacted. There'll be major health expenses that you can't cover, and just the cumulative impact of, you know, the constant anxiety about money and the stress of having to make sure you make it through to your next paycheck or payment comes on through. And like having to sacrifice on food, both in terms of quality and quantity, they'll just be compounding the health impacts of living on a very low income during the current cost of living crisis. So it's all of those things reinforcing each other.
And what do you think that governments can do to improve the situation and the impact of the situation?
One of the most important things for the federal government to do would be to increase JobSeeker payment and other payments as part of the federal budget in May. We know for many, many years now that there's been strong community support, even before this cost of living crisis, for increasing JobSeeker and other Centrelink payment. It's absolutely essential. The case is overwhelming in terms of the impacts on people's ability to look after their health and cover the costs of food, housing, bills and other expenses. So that is arguably the most essential thing that the federal government can do to support people who've been struggling for a very, very long time, but who over the last 12 to 18 months have had the added challenge of huge, rapid rises in food and rent and other expenses. The other thing I'd add is that governments do have an obligation to ensure that people are able to meet their most basic needs. We know that one of the reasons that people are struggling with the cost of food is that we're seeing huge rises in not only people's housing expenses, but in people's power expenses. And these are both really, really basic things. You know, people need access to power. They have to be able to keep themselves warm during winter and cool during summer. The federal government has taken steps to try to cap power prices because it is an essential good for the community. We think that same argument applies to rent, that there's a need for government intervention to cap and control rent increases, to give tenants, particularly those on low incomes, a chance to catch their breath and to give them a bit of stability and relief. An action on both of those things, power prices and rent costs, will make it easier for people to be able to go to the shops and make sure that they can feed themselves well and feed their children well.
That's Anti-Poverty Network SA's Paz Foggioni speaking to The Wire's Emma Watsky.